We continue our learning of the Nishmas David b'Menacharish b'Chaim Yaakov b'Brichos Eliyahu. We begin Seder Nezikin. Bavakama, Maseches Bavakama, Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Bavakama deals with primarily damages, and we're going to discuss in the first Mishnah that there are different classifications of damages. The qualities are different, the characteristics of each are different, and the halachos and the obligations of payment may be different. And we're going to go through them before we mention the beginning of the Masechta, which says that there are four Avos Nezikin, four categories of Nezikin. We need to be aware that there are actually more than that, and we'll discuss why the Mishnah mentions four. The first of these categories is known is called Keren. Keren is discussed, it is all discussed in the Torah speaks about this in Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah speaks about Keren as a horn. It means that if an animal gores could gore another animal and kill it, could gore a person, could also, God forbid, kill a person with goring with Keren. And the Torah there, and it doesn't have to be necessarily only gore with a horn, it means that Keren is a general category of where an animal does something that's not that we don't doesn't typically do. We don't assume that an animal that's walking around is necessarily going to gore another animal or a person. There are other things that an animal does do, and we'll discuss those in a moment. So Keren, what's unique about Keren is that Keren will pay the first time since it's not something that we expect. So the first three times, in fact, the animal is called a shor tam, and therefore it's not we don't assume that it's habitual, and the owner only has to pay chati nezek, which we'll discuss a little bit later in the Masechta. After three times, on the fourth time, now it's called a shor muad, and you're going to pay muad, meaning that it's people have testified about the fact that we see it's habitual, the animal does in fact gore, could be that the animal pushes, things that we don't typically expect it to do, we see that it does after three times, it's established this chazaka, and now on the fourth time you pay full nezek shalom. And we'll discuss that later in the Masechta. That is the category of Keren. Keren, we usually assume, we say that it's Mishune. Mishune Keren. Keren is different. It's not something, it's unique. It's not something we expect the animal to do. Another category is Shane. Shane literally means tooth, but it means that the animal is getting benefit. Like, for example, it goes into the owner's field and it eats from the crops. There we speak about Shane. Shane, because the Torah says, Uvier b'ste acher, the animal eats or consumes in someone else's field. Shane is not going to have an obligation in Rosh Hashanah in a public area, only in a private area, because it says that it specifically speaks about a steacher, someone else's field that the animal walks in and eats, as opposed to Keren, let's say, where the goring can take place even in Rosh Hashanah in a public area. The Torah doesn't speak about an animal goring only in someone else's field. So Shane is where the animal is eating or getting some type of benefit. There are other examples of Shane, as we'll see as well. Then there's the cat, and there the halacha is, since it's something we expect the animal to do, the owner of the animal is going to pay for the damages, are going to pay nezek sholem full the first time around. Then there's what we call regel. Regel, the animal tramples on someone's crops. Also something that is typical for an animal to do. We say hazeka matzu. It's something that is, animal's not getting benefit from it. It's not hana like Shane, but nonetheless, regel, the animal's trampling. This is matzu. It is something that's common. It is something that the owner will pay full damages for on the first time. And because the Torah says vishilach es b'iro uvier b'steacher, v'shilach es b'iro is a reference to the regal. An animal owner literally sends forth his animal into someone else's field. So since it mentions someone else's field, they're also regal, just like Shane, is only chayv to pay when it causes the damage in someone else's field, as opposed to where someone tramples something in a Rosh Hasharabim. But you're going to pay nezek shalim, full damages, the first time, because it's something that's very common. The Torah speaks about esh, fire. That's called what we call hever. So there the Torah says, ki aver ish, person lights someone's field on fire. In fact, we'll discuss later in the Masechta, it's where you light the fire in your own field and then the fire spreads. That is where what we call there is a koach acher me'urovbo. There's another force besides the fact that you lit the fire, is the wind that takes it. And even though it's not you, it's the wind that's bringing it, you're going to be chayv anyway. So that's what we call ish. And then there's what we call bor. Bor is where you dig a pit. Although the pit is in Rosh Hasharabim and that you don't own that area, nonetheless, the halacha is, the Torah is telling us that even though you dug a pit in a public area, the fact that you created that nezek, you're going to be chai for that as well. And each of these have different, as we said, different qualities, different characteristics, and we'll speak about the obligations for each. But also, a person is going to be chai of the first time. The question is, what falls into the boar? Is it a person? Is it an animal? We'll discuss that as well. So our mission begins, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Arba'a Avos Nezik. week, and all of a sudden we mentioned more than that. But here it says there are four categories of nezikin, and we'll see why there are only four. Hashor. The first one is shor. So when we say shor, that's not clear what that means. Is that karen? Is that the? It means an ox. Is that the fact that the ox is goring, or the fact that the ox is eating? That shein, getting benefit. Is the fact that the ox is trampling? That's regel. So it's not clear what shor means. In fact, there is a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel what shor means in our Mishnah. So according to Rav, shor includes all of the things that an ox does. There's karen and shein and regel are all included in shor. And so that's the case. Then I have all of the avos nezikin are really mentioned in this mission. In fact, there's one we left out, and that's what we call adam. Adam amasik, a person causing injury, is also a category of nezikin, which we'll have to see if it's mentioned in the Mishnah or not. So according to Rav, shor includes karen, goring, which some of you say is mishune, is unique, and you pay only chatzi nezik the first three times, includes shein, the animal eating, tooth, and the and regel, where the animal's trampling. But according to Shmuel says, no, shor only means regel in this Mishnah. Shor does not refer to anything but regel. And what about shein and karen? So shein is another word in the Mishnah, which we'll mention in a second. And karen is not mentioned in the Mishnah. You know why it's not in the Mishnah? Because this Mishnah is only speaking about cases where they're what we call mu'ad mitchilasan, where they're considered something that's typical and you have to pay full damages from the very beginning. And that's why karen is not on this list. So according to Shmuel, shor just means regel. What's the next one on the list? The habor. So that everyone agrees. Everyone knows what bor is. We mentioned bor as well. Where you dig a pit in Rosh Hashanah, and let's say an animal falls in, you have to pay for the animal. How deep does the pit have to be? We'll discuss it as well. Does it cause 10 tefachim to cause death, and less than 10 tefachim to cause damage? And if it's less than 10 tefachim, the animal dies, won't have to pay for it. We'll discuss that as well. V'hamaveh. So maveh is also a question what that means. It all depends on Rav and Shmuel. It all depends on what shor means. So according to Rav, that shor includes all of the aspects of shor: karen, the goring, and the shein, and the getting benefit, and the regel, the trampling. So maveh means adam. We're not going to go discuss it. The Gemara has proofs that the word maveh can be a reference to a person, and that means that refers to adam amasik. That's the classification of a person causing injury to someone else. According to Shmuel, where shor only means regel, you know what maveh? Maveh is shein. And we have a pasuk from Navi that also tells us that maveh is that why that shoresh would refer to shein. We're not going to discuss that in detail, but here we have so far in the Mishnah, we have shor, bor, maveh. So shor is either shein, regel, and karen, and maveh is adam, or shor is regel, and maveh is shein, and adam is not in the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, because I don't need to mention adam. We're only talking about other damages, animal, as opposed to adam amazik, that will be discussed later in the Masechta. And bor, everyone agrees, we know what bor means. And finally, Hever, that also everyone agrees, the machlok is about that. Hever is biur, like biur chametz. That's the uki yaverish sodeh acherim. Person lights the fire, as the Torah uses that word, where a person causes damage by fire. And then the Mishnah says, lo harei hashor kaharei amaveh. What this literally means is that shor is not like maveh. Now, we're going to learn the Mishnah like Shmuel to simplify things. That shor is a reference to regel and trampling, which is only chayz netzek shamli the first time, but only in someone else's field. And maveh, which is shein, according to Shmuel. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that the Torah needed to write all of the avos nezikin, and I couldn't learn one from the other. So the Mishnah is telling us, like, let's say the Torah says, you know, if you have an animal and the animal tramples in someone else's field and causes damage, so you have to pay the damages. So why would the Torah have to write, then if the animal eats from the crops of someone else, you have to pay damage? It's obvious. Whenever your animal causes damage, you have to pay. So the Mishnah says, no, I would not know one from the other. Lo harei hashor kaharei amaveh. If the Torah would have only written shor, which we're explaining to mean regel, the Torah would have only told us you have to pay for what your animal tramples on someone else's crops, that you have to pay, kaharei amaveh, I would not know that the animal eats from the crops. I wouldn't know that you chayv for shein. Why would I not know that? So the Gemara explains, because each one has a different characteristic. Shane is something that is not as common as Regal. If an animal is walking and it walks into through the gate into someone else's field, do I know the animal is going to eat from the crops? Not necessarily. It has to be hungry to eat from the crops. So that is what we call hezeka eino matzi. That is not necessarily a common hezek. It's something that maybe I should expect, but it's not as common as Regel, which is hezeka matzi. An animal, once it's walking, it's not paying attention. If it's hungry, it'll eat. If it's not hungry, it won't eat. But it's going to pay attention, trampling on the crops. No, it doesn't know where it's going, and it just walks. Doesn't pay attention not to step on the tomatoes. So that's, it is so common, I would have said, if the Torah would have just written shor, which is regel, that you have to pay for trampling. I wouldn't know you have to pay for shame for the animal eats, for what it's getting benefit. So that's why the Torah had to write not only shor, not only regel, but mava, but shame as well. But then the Mishnah says the other way as well. And mava, shame is not like shor, it's not like regel, which means, hold on one second, if you're telling me that shame, the fact that you have to pay for damages that the animal gets benefit, is a chiddush, is more of a novelty. So let the Torah just write that. And then I would know kal vachomer that you have to pay for regel, which is hezeka motzi, which is the most common when the animal tramples. So the Mishnah says it's not true either. Why? Lo harei ha, that's what the Mishnah means. Lo harei ha mava karei ashur. If the Torah would have just written mava, which is shame, I would not know shor, I wouldn't know regel. Why not? Because I would have said, maybe you only have to pay for when your animal gets benefit. Well, your animal doesn't get benefit, you don't have to pay. So the Torah would have just written Shane, if the Torah would have just written that you have to pay for your animal eats from someone else's crops in his field, I would have said, oh, what if the animal tramples? Oh, maybe you are not have to pay for that. After all, the animal doesn't get benefit. You don't save, it's not like you're saving money on a meal. So maybe you don't have to pay. That's why the Torah has to write both. Each one has a characteristic the other one doesn't have, which what makes it stronger. We could look at it from different perspectives, and that's why the Torah has to write both shor and mava, both regel and shame. And then the Mishnah continues with the same idea. V'lo zeva zeh sheyesh bahen ruachayim, karehoesh she'ein ba ruachayim. And what this means is like this. Let's say the Torah would have just written Shane and Regel, Shor and Mave, or Mave and Shor. If the Torah would have just written that you have to pay for trampling, and when your animal eats from someone else's crops, wouldn't I know that I'm chayv to pay for if I cause damage by lighting a fire? So the Torah Mishnah says no. V'lo zev ozeh sheyesh bahem ruachayim, karei yoeh shein ba ruachayim. Because they're very different. These are alive. These nizikin, these damages come from animals. And then I would have said, aha, because these are animals and the owner owns them and he's obligated to watch them. That's why he's chayv. But eish, so maybe I would have said, maybe I wouldn't know that you're chayv if the Torah didn't write it because it's not alive and it's going on its own. It's not coming from an animal that we know that is there, potentially can cause damage. So maybe I would say that you're not going to be chayv for eish. That's why the Torah has to write eish as well. And then the Mishnah says, V'lo zeh v'zeh, she'darkon leilech u'lahazik, kaharei habor she'ein darko leilech u'lahazik. Okay, hold on one second. Why can't the Torah write Shane and Regel and Eish? And then I would know you certainly chai for bor. That shouldn't be an Eish. That should be obvious. If I'm chai for those three, why wouldn't I be chai for bor? So the answer is because bor has a characteristic that maybe I would have said you're not chayiv for that. Why? So because the Mishnah says the other three are darkon leilech ulahazik. They move. They don't stay in place. The eishah travels and they're not stationary. And the animal obviously is not stationary and he moves and causes damage. But maybe where the damage is caused because I dug a pit here. Someone had to walk in. Someone or an animal had to fall in. I create a damage that's going to be moving around and causing nezek that way. So therefore, I need the Torah to say, "V'lo zev azeh she'darkon leilech lahazik v'kaharei abor she'ein darkon leilech lahazik." And bor does not, it does not move. It's stationary. Maybe I wouldn't be chai for that. That's why I need the Torah to write all four of them. I need Shein, Regel, Eish, and Bor, and I would not be able to learn one from the other. The Gemara actually comes to the conclusion, though, after some discussion, that I really could, if I would have had Bor and one of the other avos malach, avos nizikin. Let's say bor and shein, or bor and regel. I actually could learn the others. If I had bor and regel, I could actually learn shein and eish from those two through what we call it tzad al-sheva, which would, now I'm not learning one from one, I'm learning one from two. And in fact, if I had bor with any of the others, I could learn the other avos nizikin. Why then did the Torah have to write all of them? So the answer is because they're unique in their halachos. That's why all four had to be written in the Chumash. So for example, Shein and Regel are Pater B'Rishus HaRabim, as we said. Bor and Esh are Chayim in Rishus HaRabim. We said Shein and Regel is only where it's V'yer B'Steh Acher, the animal went into someone else's field. Bor and Esh are Chayim, even if it's done in a public area. And not only that, Bor has also a unique halacha that the Torah had to write it. Because the Torah says, enough al shama shor or chamor. And we learn from there, shor velo adam, and chamor velo kelim, which means that when it comes to a person, you only chai for an animal falling into a pit. We'll discuss that a little bit later. And not a person, maybe for misa, maybe not for damages if a person falls in, but for only for an animal dying, are you chai for digging a bor. And not only that, we learn that you're not chai for vessels either, utensils that fall in, just for the animal that happens to die. So, fire also has a unique halacha, which is why the Torah would have to write it, and I needed all four of these to be written, because when it comes to Eish, you're putter on what we call tamun, something that's hidden. So, for example, let's say someone had a heap of wheat, and someone lit it on fire, and underneath the heap of wheat was clothing. Does he have to pay for the clothing? So the answer is no. The Torah speaks about kama, which is standing wheat that you happen to burn. So it has to be something that's exposed, that's noticeable, that's revealed, as opposed to something that's hidden. You're not going to be chai for that. So that's why the Torah had to write all four of them, even though I could learn maybe one from, I could learn the other two from bor and one other through a tzad al-sheva, through a common denominator. Anyway, the Mishnah now says, ha-tzad al-sheva shabbat. Okay, so what's the bottom line? What is the common denominator between all these four of us nezikin? Shedarkon lahazik, they, in general, their manner is to cause damage, and not necessarily to go and cause damage. Remember, the boar doesn't go and cause damage, but it does cause damage. People walk by and they fall in. Ushmira san alecha, and you have to guard. Ukshehia. So that is the common denominator is they all cause damage. You therefore have to guard them. And if you haven't guarded, whether it's you didn't cover the boar, you didn't protect the fire, you didn't protect your animal, you're going to be chayv to pay. And then the Mishnah concludes. And when in fact you cause damage, so the person who is the mazik, the one who causes the damage, has to pay nezek, which is the damages, b'meitav ha'aretz. Now, what does meitav ha'aretz mean? Meitav means the best. We mentioned this in the past. The halacha is that nezikin is unique than other areas where you have to pay money. Let's say, for example, person owes his wife a ksuba. So let's say you want to pay the ksuba in cash. Okay, you want to pay the ksuba in metals and movables. That's fine. You want to pay the ksuba in karka, in land. So what kind of land? You have to give superior land. Has to be very fertile. Obviously, it has to be the value, but what kind of quality does a land have to be? So the halach is, I get whatever land I want to give. That's fine. So when it comes to loans, when I pay back, I have to pay beninus, middle quality land. But when it comes to, and I can't pay ziburis, poor quality land. Remember, it's the same value, just whether the land is very big and not as fertile, or very small and more fertile and easier to guard, to protect. So either way, the nezikin is unique. Because the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, Meitav Sodehu, Umeitav Karmar Yishalem. If your animal caused damage to someone, his field, his vineyard, you have to be able to call Meitav. Meitav means superior quality. So if you're paying cash, that's always superior quality. Movable objects, always superior quality. You can sell that anywhere. If it doesn't sell here, you sell it somewhere else. But karka, land, real estate, is only based on its location. So that, or based on its quality. So therefore, you have to pay mate. If you want to pay land, you want to pay the nezek. In land, you owe money to someone because you caused damage, and you want to pay them in real estate, it has to be mate. It has to be superior quality. Perek Aleph Mishnah Base. Kol shechavti bishmiraso, hichsharti es nizko. So this means literally is, any time that I, where I'm chayv to guard something, chavti b'shmiraso, and I didn't guard it, hichshati nizko. I'm the one who prepared nezek. Now that seems to be obvious. Obviously, if I'm the one who prepared, I'm the one who set in place the damage potentially if I didn't guard something. So what's the chiddush of the mishnah? So the Gemara has a brisa that says that we're speaking about a case where a person, let's say, gave his animal to a chereshota or a katan. So he is a deaf mute person who's mentally deranged or under bar mitzvah, so they don't have das. And now you give it to someone who is not mature enough to guard it. So in such a case, we say, well, that's exactly what the problem is here. So it could be, obviously, if you didn't guard something at all, you're the one who prepared the nezek. But the chiddush here is, I had it guarded, I gave it to someone to guard it, but the person could not guard it properly, I'm also going to be chayv. That is that's how we're supposed to understand this mishnah. Now there are different ways to understand what the chereshot of a katan, what we're talking about. Reish Lakish learns this case of the chereshot of a katan like this: we're talking about a shor, an ox that was tied properly, or a boar, let's say, that was covered properly. And what happened? Now you gave, you say, okay, it's tied properly, it's covered properly. Okay, now I give it to a cheshot v'katan to watch. So says Reish Lakish, even there you're going to be chayv. That's the chiddush of the mishnah. Why? It was tied properly. The answer is, if I would have left it alone, it would have been fine. Maybe I wouldn't be chayv. But because I tied it properly, I covered it properly. But because I gave it the cheshot v'katan, so they may undo it, they may take off the cover, they may untie the rope from that animal, and now it's going to run loose and cause damage. So that's my responsibility. And there's another opinion in the Gemara that no, we don't assume the cheshot v'katan are going to ruin the shmirah. No, they and if you tied it properly, you would not be chayev for giving it over to them. And they, in fact, can help a little bit. But we're speaking about a case where the shor was not tied, and the boar was not covered, and I relied on the cheshev to cut them. That's why I'm going to be chayev, because that's not considered enough of a shmir. So different ways to learn the case of the cheshev to the katan, which is coming to explain the halacha of the mishnah, that anyone who is considered guilty regarding his shmira is the one who prepared the nezek. Then the mishnah says, if you have a case where someone prepared half of the nezek, part of the nezek, he's still going to be guilty and he's going to be culpable to pay as if he prepared and set in place the entire damage. What's this talking about? The Gemara explains, we're talking about a person who, let's say, there was a boar, and a boar was already in Rishus Arabim. And it was uncovered. So you didn't dig that. But you came, but it was only 9 tefachim deep. And what you did is you came over and you dug one more tefach. Now it's 10 tefachim deep. 10 tefachim deep, we assume, is the minimum depth that can actually kill an animal that falls in. And you are the cause of the animal now potentially dying because you turned it into 10 tefachim. So you only were machshir mitzach nizko. You only prepared part of the nezek, but nonetheless, you're going to be chayv and tashlumin for the animal that falls in. That is your entire obligation, because the animal would not have died based on, if the animal's damaged, that may be the other person's problem. But the animal dies, which it would not have died in 9 tefachim. You assume it can die in a minimum of 10 tefachim. That becomes all of your obligation. Then the mishnah says, dechasim she'ein bahem. Now the mishnah is coming to tell us in what cases I'm going to be chayv. Certain cases where you're not going to be chayv for damages. So meila, maybe mentioned in the past, meila is where you get hana or steal, misappropriate that which belongs to hektesh. So the mishnah is coming to tell us that you're only chayv to pay for damages of where you damage something that's not hektesh. Nechasim she'ein bahem meila, where if you use them or got benefit from them, you would not be misappropriating from the base hektesh, which means normal things. Normal things, as opposed to an animal, let's say, that belongs to Hekdesh. So if you cause damage to an animal of Hekdesh, you're not going to be chayv to pay. Only an animal that's not Hekdesh. How do I know that? The pasuk says, V'chi yigof shor ish es shor re'eu. What shor re'eu? A shor that belongs to your friend. That excludes a shor of Hekdesh. And all other nezikin follow in the same way. Then the mishnah says, Nechasim shel b'nei bris. Another example, Yuchayv to pay for Nechasim B'nei Bris, which means the on a Torah level, we'll discuss a little bit later, and that is B'nei Bris are Jews, because based on the Psukim, a person who causes damage to a Jew is going to be Chayv, a damage to a non-Jew is technically going to be Pater. There may be reasons why to pay, we'll discuss that a little bit later, hopefully, but officially, the Torah is speaking, the Torah is given to Jews, and the Torah is speaking about damage to a Jew, and therefore it's nechasim of B'nai Bris. Then the Mishnah says, nechasim ha-miyuchadim, you're going to be chayav for. What's miyuchadim? They're designated to someone. They're owned by someone. This excludes nechasim that are hefker. Now, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that I'm not chayav to pay for causing damage to something of hefker. It's the animal doesn't belong to anyone. So why would I be chayav for that? The object doesn't belong to anyone. So the Gemara explains that as the chiddush of the Mishnah is the following. We're speaking about a case where a person damaged a chasim that were that were miyuchad to a baal, and but what happened was let's say the baal now is mafkirit. So the miyuchad to a part, you have a person miyuchad means that it has to be nechasim that is causing damage that belongs to someone. Meaning, if a person damages something that belongs to Hefker, obviously you don't have to pay. The Chiddush here is that not that that which you caused damage to was Hefker, but rather the item itself that caused the damage was Hefker. So, but if it didn't belong to anyone, why is there even a discussion about who's paying for it? So the answer is, let's say you have an animal that was a Hefker animal, caused damage. And then someone comes and sees the animal running around and says, oh, look at that, an animal. And he comes and takes hold of it. And now he becomes the owner. Is he chayav to pay for the damage? The damage that took place 5 minutes ago? The answer is no. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Nechasim ha-miyuchadim. Because at the time of the damage, it did not belong to him. And even though he took ownership of it afterwards, he's going to be pater from paying. Same thing. Let's say you have a shore that's owned by someone and causes damage, and then the baal is mafkirit. So maybe it's not a nice thing to do, but maybe he doesn't want to pay for the damages, but officially now he's not the owner of the animal. So the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay. Why? I wasn't the owner of the animal when it caused damage. He was, but it has to be his at not only the time of the cause of the damage, but at the time of Shas Hamad Bedin, when he's standing in court as well. And at this point, when he comes to court, it's not his, and therefore he's going to be pater. Then the Mishnah says of Chol Makom. When it comes to damage, it's where you're going to be chayav to pay where the damage happens in any place, chutz merushus hamiyuchedes lemazik, except if it's a rushus that is designated to the mazik, to the damager. So let's say, for example, Shimon Shor comes into Uvain's backyard. So now Shimon's animal causes damage to Shimon Shor. So Reuven doesn't have to pay because Reuven can say, listen, I know my animal caused damage to your animal, but what's your animal doing in my backyard? It doesn't belong there. Now, if Reuven causes damage to the animal himself, so he's going to be chayav because he could have taken Shimon's animal out instead of hitting it or damaging it. That he cannot do. He can't be mazik. But if Reuven's animal caused damage, Shimon's animal should not have been in his rishus. And therefore, since it's a rishus miuchedes lemazik, you're going to be exempt. Urishus hanizak v'hamazik. Another example of where you're going to be putter is where you have a rishus that belongs to both. It's mishutefes. They own it in partnership, both the mazik and the nizak, the damager and the one and the victim. A chatzah belongs to both of them. Let's say one animal, the animal of one caused damage to the other. Let's say through Shane and Regel specifically, because Shane and Regel, it says you have to go. But remember what we said: Bishilaches Biro, he sends forth his animal Uvier Besteacher, goes into someone else's rishus. This is not someone else's rishus. This is a rishus that's owned in partnership. Therefore, you're going to be potter. But if it's Karen, let's say, where we don't have the pasuk Uvier Besteacher, so the same Yechayv in Rishus Harabim, Yechayv in Ochatze, that's Mishutefetz, that's owned in partnership as well. And then the Mishnah says, Uchshehizik Chav HaMazik L'Shalim Tashlume Nezek B'Meitav Ars. Now this sounds like we said this in the first Mishnah. When a person causes damage, he has to pay Meitav. Didn't we say that? When you're paying real estate, you have to pay in Meitav. So the Gemara says, no, this is coming to include Karen, which means, at least according to Shmuel, According to Rav, you need another explanation. But according to the way we're learning in the Mishnayos, that when we said, that when we mentioned, shor only meant regel, and mava was shein, so that meant keren wasn't in the Mishnah. So how do I know that this rule of paying meitav applies to keren as well? If my animal gores, does something that it doesn't normally do, and I'm now paying nezek, how do I know? Chatzi nezek, the first three times we're actually paying, after it had three times, the fourth time I pay, it's a muad, I pay nezek shalim. How do I know that nezek shalim has to be paid from meitav if I'm planning to pay real estate? So that's this Mishnah. Ukshehizik, and to teach you that when it comes to Karen, the Mazik is chayv to pay meitav, superior quality land as well.